Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Welcome to Saturday Triple M NRL right across the Triple M network. And my name is Anthony Maroon. I'm filling in for Tony Squires, who's having a well-earned rest. Joining me, as they do every Saturday, is Ryan Girdler. Gerd, seeing a lot of you this week, old mate.
Yeah, hey, Maroon, how you doing? Welcome back to Saturday. I remember when we first started in, like, 2012.
Yeah.
You were the host of the Saturday show. It's really nice to have you back. Where'd you go?
Well, I got dropped to reserve grade and I never made it back.
Okay.
But obviously,
well, today's your chance.
Things have kicked on with the highly rating Sunday show and I got my hands full all week with that.
That's great.
And from Fox League, my lovely friend, my favourite on Fox League, my favourite on The Professor,
your favourite here too.
And how are you, Em?
Oh, I'm all the better for seeing you. I was very surprised when I came in and saw you, and it just made my day even better.
Yeah, well, we spoke a couple of times through the week. I forgot to mention it to you, though.
I know, you did.
I wanted to keep it as a bit of a...
We've been speaking a lot because Zach's away. He's up in Queensland.
Yeah, yeah, so what's he doing there, obviously?
He's covering the Maroons, so in enemy territory up there. So he's been up for a while, so...
When are the Maroons coming down?
Monday.
Beautiful.
Monday. I thought you would have been talking to Reedy a lot more.
Yes. Mate, Reedy, you spoke about you last night.
What did he say?
Oh, he just said, like, yeah.
He said he loves that. He loves that dress you wear on The Professor. And I love it too. And so too, Wendell Saylor. Nice to see you again, old mate.
Mate, great to be back here. Just really love my Saturday shows. And good to see you on the Saturday show, Maroon.
Thanks,
we
mate.
Work a lot together on the corporate and charity functions.
You okay? Because when we left Bankwest last night, you seemed a little bit, I don't know, off, a little bit moody. You okay now?
He was a bit cranky, wasn't he? He was really going for the Tigers. Mm. I think the result really affected his... attitude at the end of the game.
Yeah, I did tip the Tigers, but I'm just a bit nervous. It's Origin, you know, and that game I was looking forward to, but I really want Queensland to win on Wednesday. And just seeing, you know, Kevy's interviews and just the boys, I'm a bit nervous for Queensland, but I'm excited about Origin. So I saved my best till Origin.
Yeah, and you're up in far north Queensland through the week doing a gig for Rebel, and by all reports, you almost did a good job, mate, so congratulations.
I did a great job, but I've got to say... You find out a lot of good things that go in behind the scenes and stuff. So some of the people that I met up there were great, you know, from Nike and, you know, Rebel. And they were great. So, mate, well done to put that together. 680 people at the function. And it was really good reward for people in and around that industry. So thanks very much to Rebel.
Can I just say, Maroon, it's great to have you on, someone who is actually a nice person, because Ryan Girdler just reminded me a moment ago. Yeah. I was leaving here last week and... I had a bit of a mishap. I was going out and you put the ticket in the little ticket machine to open the boom gate.
Well, that's what most people do.
So that's what I did. I put my ticket in the little slot and, you know, it's flashing green. That's the bit you look at automatically. And then
How many slots are there?
Well, there's one further down, but the first one you look at is the ticket one.
Yeah.
So then I get my credit card and I put it in, and I put it in the same one as... supposed to put your ticket.
Yeah.
And then it chews my credit card up.
Oh, no.
So,
because there's a ticket one and a credit card one.
Yes.
Most people know that.
Yeah. Yes. I've done it before, actually, and it spat the card back out. But this time it didn't. It chewed it up.
Ah. So you jammed the whole machine up.
Then Goods passes me. Doesn't even offer to help.
So I wave it. And I said, what have you done? She said, I stuck... The ticket in the credit card in the ticket slot. I said, oh, well, that'll teach you. I mean, I've got a couple of kids at home. They've got to learn by your mistakes. So I waved my pass and thought there's... And I actually waited for a second. I thought...
No, you didn't.
Is there
anything
I can do to help this lady in distress?
You just left her.
Is there anything I can do? Can I make anything happen? And I thought to myself, there's nothing I can do here, Em. I'll see you next week.
I thought he was going to say that you tailgated him, so when he put his pass in, the gate came up and then...
Yeah, you should have done that.
That's against the law.
No, I know, but I've seen people do it. I've never done it because I've got a pass here.
And I had to wait 45 minutes. Yeah. You could have offered to go and get me a coffee or something while I waited.
And you know what? You will never do it again.
I'll probably do it this afternoon.
Hopefully you'll never do it again.
Did you wait 45 minutes?
Yeah, well, you have to sometimes. It's a lesson well learnt.
Now, I wanted to bring up this with you, Wendell, before we go any further. And everybody's talking about it at the moment. Our wonderful friend here, Gordon Tallis, getting emotional on Fox League. Have a listen to the audio.
Yeah, just what Kevin went through, you know, and then it's really hard, actually.
He's just a genuine good bloke, and see that moment there?
Absolutely. It just shows that our game's real, you know, that there's dads, and it'd probably be one of Kevin's greatest achievements. He was a single dad for a long time.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
Sorry, Gordy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's Gordy Tallis. He's obviously great mates with Kevy Walters. And Kevy, of course, lost his wife, for those who don't know the story, very, very young in the piece when the kids were little. Gordy, Wendell, you know the story. Oh. Tell us the story.
Yeah, look, you know, in the 90s there, you know, it was about 98, I think, 98, 90, yeah, 97, 98, sort of Kim got diagnosed with cancer. So we rode that roller coaster with Kevy and the three young boys. You know, Jet, I think, was still a baby. There was Billy Walters, who debuted the other night, and Jack, you know, he was the older kid, or not so much older. But we went through it because the kids were always around training, was around the club. And just hearing Gordy get upset about that, it just takes you back. I think we lost Kim in 99, and it hits you so hard because we had some adversity through the club. I think Steve Reynolds' dad passed away not long before that, Brad Thorne, and Scott Prince around that same time. But I think Kim, because the three boys, it was really hard and watch Kevy go through that. And as you know, wonderful family, the Walters, and just to see, you know, Billy debut the other night, it was hard to see because the Broncos, I know we had a pretty talented club, but we were so tight, you know. And, you know, Gordy, people say a lot of things about Gordy, but that's the sort of bloke he is. And I know Gordy and Kevy were really tight, and, you know, they even, like, since post-football, they hang out a fair bit, and Kevy's been there for Gordy as well. So I was in Cairns, and when I saw that, one of my mates sent me the interview, and I was in my hotel room, and I got upset because it takes you back. And I remember when Kim passed away, it affected the club so much in 99, and then in 2000, we won the grand final, and we sort of made a pact to do it for Kevy. It just brought us, like, so tight. And then I remember going to Bali and having this trip, and Kevy came to Bali and that, but then he had to go home early because of the boys. It was just so hard to see someone go through that. And, you know, that's why everyone loves Kevy, just not because of that, but he brought those three boys up, not his own. He had family, he had friends, but those boys were always around the club, really nice kids, and to see them grow into great young men now, I'm really proud, and I'm sure Kim would be too.
Yeah, beautifully said, Del. Beautifully said, mate. So if you missed that, that's what happened on Fox League through the week with Gordy Tallis. Looking forward to seeing him again tomorrow on Sunday, Triple M NRL, when he finally makes his return to the radio. Well, we've got plenty to talk about today. We'll talk about that New South Wales Origin side. Who plays where in the forward pack? Was Pierce the right replacement for Cleary? I'm going to ask the guys and Em about that as well. But up next, the Roosters got up over the Tigers 24-16 in an entertaining game at Bankwest. We'll talk about that shortly as Triple M rocks the footy. Saturday, Triple M NRL, Wendell, Emma, Ryan,
love
Girdler,
the deep
and
conversations
Maroon.
We have off air.
Yes, we did.
That was a really good one. Really good one.
Really was an interesting one about...
Yeah, and you know when the conversations are deep or fair, it's always Emma Lawrence is involved.
Hey.
Yeah. Well, you know what we were discussing, if so not to alienate the audience, just discussing if it's okay for a man to sit down while he's having a wee.
Yeah.
That's the thing, you know.
And under what circumstance is it okay? It's obviously okay.
Yeah.
But under what circumstance would you do it? Maybe we should take a phone up.
All the big topics.
Well, if my wife's
if you're allowed to make much mess... And if you make the mess,
actually,
do you clean it up?
It started with Em saying that every now and again she'll walk into the men's toilet accidentally.
Yes, yeah? That's how it started.
And she said it stinks in there a lot more than it does in a female toilet.
But so then
when
you
have those... I didn't say every now and then. So when
you have those unisex toilets, she doesn't like them because she feels the male contribution to the smell in the unisex toilets... Yeah. Is a little bit over the top, so she's not for.
I can only make an educated guess that it's the contribution of the men going to that toilet.
Those unisex toilets, come on, let's ban them.
You don't like them? Civic's got them over the road there.
I don't like them. I don't like them at all. Men should go to the men's toilet. Ladies should go to the ladies' toilet.
And you know what's bad? If you go in and it smells... And then you go out, and then someone comes in after you. They assume that you made it smell, but it wasn't you, and you don't know whether to say it wasn't me.
But who cares? You're never going to see them again.
But what if it's someone you know?
Someone you know, and you go back upstairs, and they're looking with some friends and pointing over at the smelly person in the corner. No, Maroon, you wouldn't bother with that, would you? You care about stuff like that?
Well, I don't like that. Yeah, no. I think men's toilet, ladies' toilet.
Okay, all right.
I reckon. And I mean, if you've got some serious business to do, maybe wait till you get home.
I reckon the unisex toilets would be better if they had a urinal in it.
Really?
No,
yeah.
Then
we're talking.
All right, let's talk a bit of footy. So Roosters defeated the Tigers 24-16 last night at Bankwest Stadium. We love Bankwest Stadium. It was a wonderful venue. And for a second there, it looked like your mob, Em, the Tigers might pull off an upset, but Luke Keary back in that Roosters side, he makes a difference.
Yeah, I was really I was disappointed that the Tigers lost, but I thought they did really well to stay with the Roosters for most of that game. In the middle sort of period of that game, I thought they did really dominate, and it's different to the – I mean, Tigers teams over the last few years, they come in and out of games, but I think they're getting closer and closer to 80-minute performances. And, you know, the forward pack's pretty small, but I think they were really impressive. Benji Marshall's playing so well. And
still got it, as in between the ears.
Yeah.
Just
and
smart.
Even, you know, the likes of Esau Masters, his footwork was good. And I
but
don't
he made
think
a couple of mistakes the second half where he could have got it back. No, he's a good player. That happens.
And I don't think I was happy with it, but I don't think his try was a try. Personally, but you know,
you didn't think he grounded it.
No,
I don't think so either. I said that on the call.
Not. I don't
Gerds,
think he did,
because Gerds made the point that because they
sent it up as a try, and there was probably enough. There wasn't enough evidence to overturn it. But I agree with you, Em. I was really impressed. Firstly, by the attitude of the Tigers, and talking about Madge McGuire and when he was coaching your boys in 14, they went on to win the premiership. They were very one-dimensional. Obviously, they had a really big pack, and they had Isaac Luke there at dummy half for the majority of the season, and they were just able to sort of roll through the middle of sides and play that sort of momentum game. But certainly with a different pack this year and the way that the Tigers have probably developed over the last month, the expansive nature in which they play in tough conditions last night, I think they completed up around 90% for the majority of the game, happy to pass the football out of their own end and really took the space. And then, you know, with Benji, and I really like the way Luke Brooks is playing at the moment as well. He's tenacious. He's just really, his running game's great, and that allows sort of Benji, you know, when the big play's there to be made on the back of some momentum, like we saw last night, whether it was that long pass to Momorowski for that first try, the little no-look kick that we're just talking about there for Masters' try, he's taking those moments, but Luke Brooks has certainly got his own role within that team. And I just thought that could have gone either way, but we said it at halftime in the back half of this game, it was going to come down to who handled the big moments better. And I just thought, and you spoke about Masters there, came up with a couple of crucial errors at the wrong time. But then down the other end, every opportunity that the Roosters got, they nailed it. Yeah. They iced it, whether it was Latrell getting involved, whether it was a kick by Kronk, whether it was one of those guys in those big moments, they made the difference in the end. But I think there was plenty of positives to come out of that Tigers performance.
Yeah, speaking of positive, Corey Thompson as a player, like you just think, okay, he's playing okay at the moment, but at some stage he's going to dip. And even before half time there, he made that break and he probably should have just dummied and then he would have scored. There's no way, they would have bombed that try. And then they come out and they had 10, 15 minutes of just, mate, they were doing everything. They played like a really expensive game in those conditions. And we thought, mate, this Tigers team's gone to another level. And then the Roosters grinded their way back into the game, which, look, on the back of Luke Keary, he's been out for 6 weeks. What he did last night is testament to him. He changes that team. Cooper had to do what he had to do. What about the grenade pass? Oh, I've never seen that. The only grenade I've seen is when New South Wales threw it in that Origin in 2000.
Brian Fletcher.
Yeah, thank you very much for reminding me of that, Emma.
Sorry.
But the way that he threw it, and then, you know, just the vision that he thought, okay, I'll throw it longer. And Daniel Tupou, I think he scored something like 17 tries out of 11 games against the West Tigers, and it was on then. But well done to Luke Keary. He was our man of the match.
I wondered whether Luke Keary could even see out there because there are a few taller players around him. I thought maybe he's just thinking,
Hail Mary.
Someone's out there. Let's just chuck
Absolutely.
It and hope for the best.
Without doubt.
Before, in the lead up to that hand grenade pass,
yes,
we all were of the opinion that Joseph Manu, put his foot into touch
on the right side there,
and the linesman missed it. So that's a big point, big turning point in that game.
Yeah, did we actually? Because I didn't go back to replay. We didn't.
Hasn't been a lot said about it, to be honest.
So whether from where we were, his foot was still up in the air, we don't know.
He was definitely out, but
yeah,
and I could be wrong. But a couple of weeks ago, once the tackle's finished or executed, is it not then okay in the process of getting up to play the ball? Isn't it? Is the play then dead? And is the guy allowed to put his foot out before he plays it?
I don't know anything about that. Something might have
happened like that earlier on in the season where the player puts his foot into touch as he's about to play the football, but the play's actually dead. I'm not sure.
Maybe we'll get Billy Harrigan to call in.
Mate, where is Billy?
And if that's
days?
The case, that might have been how they ruled that situation because it was actually in the act of getting up to play the football after the tackle had been executed.
Maybe
anyway,
Bill Harrigan can
Does Bill still work for us?
He does.
I've never seen him.
Well, whenever he wants, he's one of those guys. He's like James Hooper.
And you, like you and James Hooper.
But he's busy. He's, you know, doing his controversy corner, isn't he? He's on that a few
Oh, yeah, Billy's on that, yeah.
And then he's on P&O Cruises.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, I think he's been cut. He's been cut from that show.
No, no, and also he does the he does a few gigs with Eric Groth and the boys.
Yeah. I see.
Someone
told me he got cut. You should know that.
Disregard that.
Okay, sorry.
Sorry, Bill.
What happened? He didn't get...
Apparently,
the guy loses the job, and these two think it's funny.
No, I
didn't know.
We've all done that. Mate,
yeah.
I lost my job from the AAU years back.
Yeah. All right. Just don't mention the footy show, right?
Well, I used to be on this show too, so, you know.
Yeah,
Saturday,
true.
Triple M NRL, Gerds, M, Wendell Saylor and Maroon. We've got plenty to talk about. New South Wales origin. Let's talk about that. How the boys think the forwards will line up. And what about Mitch Pearce coming into the side, the redemption man to replace Nath Cleary? All that and more coming up as Triple M rocks the footy. Welcome back to Saturday Triple M NRL with Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon. Let's talk a little bit of origin. Of course, you can get the full coverage here on the Triple M network. Dan's on deck Wednesday night to call that one for you with our team of experts. Now, the New South Wales side, here is the 17 by number. Tedesco, of course, at fullback, then Ferguson, Tommy Trbojevic, Jack White and Josh Adokar, Jimmy Maloney, Mitchell Pearce, Saifiti, Damien Cook, Paul Vaughan, then Frizzell, Trbojevic in the lock. And then the bench, Finucane, Clemmer, Cam Murray, and then, of course, Wade Graham. But is that, do you think they'll start 1-13? Ryan, what are your thoughts?
No, I think they'll probably make the same changes what they did for game two. They'll move Vaughan onto the bench. They feel like they get a little bit more leg drive and some energy out of him coming on in the back end of that first half. And I think they like the fact that Finucane and Trbojevic can pass a little bit, can create a little bit more diversion there, and they like to play a little bit of footy, especially coming out of their own end in game two, and it worked really well for them. So I don't see any reason as to why they'll change for game three.
Yeah, and I think you made the point, Gerds. Like, it was an opportunity to throw Wade Graham into 5-8, but obviously Mitch Pearce comes into the side. He is the perfect utility, isn't he, Wade Graham there? And with Junior, you reckon it would have been a hard decision for him to bring him back in because, you know, well, I think they've sent him once or twice.
No, I don't think so. I think the thing I like about
Clint Gutherson, that's what I'm going to say, because Clint Gutherson was the 18th man.
Yep.
And so people thought that he might just come straight on the bench and have Wade Graham at 5-8.
Yeah, and that could have been the case. But I think I said it before, in relation to having, you know, only one genuine playmaker there, if something happens to him early on in the contest, and Origin's a pretty unpredictable beast, so you certainly don't want then the game management to fall back onto guys that aren't used to it, which would be Graham and also Gutherson. So I think, you know, Mitchell Pearce is the likely choice, and I think he'll come in there. He certainly pushes up, and that's what I like about him, and James Maloney are probably two of the halves in the game that push up with the football the most. So they really enjoy the fact that New South Wales tend to sort of play flat and fast and certainly off the back of what momentum they get through the middle. Damien Cook's a dummy half that if you're sort of waiting back for the football and not pushing up, he can sort of get away from you and you miss a lot of opportunity. And I think we did that in game one. In game two, with Maloney and Pearce pushing up all the time with the football, Damien Cook can do his thing and there'll always be someone there to catch his pass.
I'm so glad that they did bring Mitchell Pearce in. It's a good story for the media. That's the first thing. But seeing him in and around camp, he just seemed to be just so content. He was, you know, having so much fun with everyone and even making jokes in his press conferences and all of his one-on-ones. He was, you know, asked over and over again about his poor record. He's won 5 of 18 Origins, never won a series. So he said, someone said, what would you tell your younger self? And he just made a joke and said, I'd probably say, well, you know, when I was 19 and debuted, just enjoy it because, you know, there'll be plenty more to come, and had a laugh and said, you know, who cares about the record? He really seems like that hasn't scarred him and he's in a better place now to play Origin. And Brad Fittler said he's in a better spot now than he's ever been before. So I'm really glad to see Mitchell Pearce back.
Yeah, look, no disrespect to Laurie and, you know, obviously the coaches went forward, but I find this New South Wales playing group just a little bit different. Just, you know, I look at Josh Adokar and Blake Ferguson, brought Blake Ferguson back in. They seem to be a happy team. After the first game, they probably know, you know, that everyone was saying, oh, they'd win that, and they, you know, got beaten up at Suncorp, but when they went to Perth and players that they brought in, there's a lot of changes. Freddie copped a bit of heat. I didn't think he should have made that many changes, but Freddie does what he wants to do. He's brought the right people in. Even David Clemmer now, when he left David Clemmer, I'm going, mate, what are you doing leaving David Clemmer out? Unfortunately for Tarek Sims, he misses out. Mate, Clemmer will be ready to roll. So Freddie's got the right vibe at the moment, and I know he cops a bit of heat, but as a Queenslander, like, I'm really worried now in this third game. ANZ Stadium, it plays differently, but no, there won't be no ambush there.
What I get when I hear a lot of these guys, you know, giving interviews and such, is there's a lot of gratitude amongst the group. And I think sometimes, you know, and in the past, there's probably guys that have got in there and really haven't appreciated the opportunity as much as they possibly could have. And I think they've been, you know, really clear about giving these guys an opportunity, but also making them understand that it really is that. It's such an opportunity. And you can just tell every time, whether it's Wade Graham or it's one of the Trbojevic's or it's even Blake Ferguson now, who, you know, it's a redemption story for him as well.
Yeah,
who's sort of,
sure,
you know, done some things that he would probably like to change, but have got an opportunity and came back in and was really good in game two. And it's the same for Junior now coming back in, you know, just really appreciating. And you saw it with Benji when he played that test the other day for New Zealand. You know, sometimes when you get to the back end of your career and you're offered another opportunity like that, you're just going to grab it with both hands. And all of these guys, I get the feeling that, you know, Freddie's it drummed into this group that every origin, and it's so true, could be your last. Enjoy the week, but make sure you go out there and you make sure you make this opportunity count. And that's the way they played game two, not so much game one. And I think on the back of that, you know, he sensed there was just a little bit of a couple of guys maybe taking the opportunity for granted or thinking that they just needed to go through the process and it was just going to happen for them. Well, it doesn't do that at this level. And we saw that for Queensland at game two. There was a couple of guys who probably went out there thinking, you know what, we got the better side. We've won game one. We've really got game three. If we lose this one, we can fall back on. They went out there and they just a couple of percent off and they got burned. And that won't happen again in game three, but you can be assured that everyone that pulls on that blue jersey while Freddie and the boys are there are certainly not going to take that opportunity for granted.
Well, Benji said when we spoke to him, I think last week or the week before, you don't realise sometimes what you have until you lose it. And I think plenty of these boys, like Mitchell Pearce, like Blake Ferguson, would be feeling exactly the same. And they won't waste an opportunity. And everyone that seems to have played Origin seems to say that it's about effort and big moments. And those little tiny one percenters, I'm pretty sure every single one of those players that Freddie has picked are players that are going to put in every little percent of effort that they can possibly give. Like, he's picked just as much based on character.
Yeah.
As he, you know, that's a big thing for Freddie.
Yeah, but we haven't spoken much about the Queensland side here, guys. And let's remember, it's 1-1. The series is 1-1, 80 minutes of football to play, and the team that wins this game wins the Origin series. I tend to think maybe not the playing personnel and the coaching staff, but certainly New South Wales people, I think we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. This Queensland side, Gerds, is full of big-name players that turn up in big moments.
Well, this is exactly the way they like it. I mean, this is what Origin's built on, essentially. New South Wales going in as favourites. Queensland, no one talking about them, and then finding a way to win a game, whether it be late, that we've seen so many times, especially in deciders. They've got a fantastic side. Unfortunately, Kalyn Ponga's out, but, you know, when you've got a guy like Ponga out and you can replace him with a guy like Munster that's just as damaging at the back and offering an opportunity to a guy like Corey Norman, who's in fine touch at the moment, who seems to be a guy that has the right mentality for this sort of arena. Now, I see it either going two ways for Corey on Wednesday night. He's either going to be the guy that goes out there, is involved in everything, everything he touches turns to gold, and he has just an Origin debut to remember. Or if New South Wales play their cards right and they apply a lot of pressure to Corey in those moments because, you know, the game's faster and he's going to need to adapt and he's in one of those key positions, it could be a real battle for him. Hopefully it's the later, but potentially that's a Queensland side that can beat the best of them.
The old Rocks and Diamonds. But, hey, there's still plenty of tickets left for this game.
There is. But that's like New South Wales, I think people just expect. I know that you guys probably don't, or as Gerd said, but after the second game, New South Wales fans are probably thinking, "Oh, we're going to win this. You know, this is going to be not that hard now because, you know, obviously the new players coming in. There's a couple of changes. I applaud Kevy for bringing Cameron to the fullback because I know he could keep him at 5'8" because he's one of the best 5'8s in the game. But I just think you've got to – you can't play defensive against this New South Wales side. Corey Norman is perfect. He could have easily brought Kyle Felt in, I reckon, into the centres and put him on the wing. And but I'm just glad he's done that because Felt deserves an opportunity. But at this time, I just like Corey Norman because he's a bit like James Maloney. He's a winner. And if he makes a mistake, he doesn't dwell on it. And Cameron Munster from the back, he's such a big body in these conditions too. You know, I think he's going to take him on. He's such a skillful player. He's like Trbojevic. Tommy, you can play him anywhere.
Maroon, you mentioned whether or not New South Wales, whether we're all getting ahead of ourselves. I was reading during the week, which I found astounding, that the Blues are shorter price favourites now than they have been since 2004.
Wow.
In that Freddie's comeback game. And that's all through a decade of dominance from the Maroons, where you could say it's probably the best Origin team ever assembled with the likes of, you know, Cronk, Smith, Slater, Thurston. And they have never been this short. A side never been this short. It's unbelievable.
See, I think Queensland can win. I don't think we can do what you did to us in game two. Even if Queensland, I think our forwards, if they hold their own, I think our backs can get them home, but in a tight one. But I just, New South Wales power, not just through their forwards, they're outside five. They cause us a lot of trouble over in Perth, and they've got to reassess, and they've got to be really aggressive with their line speed, and they've got to make minimal mistakes and get the kicking game in order.
Now, toward the end of the week, there was still 30,000 tickets available. Does that surprise you, Em, or do you think a lot of people just turn up on the night, depending on the weather? The weather hasn't been great in Sydney.
No, I think they'll get plenty more over the next couple of days. And I think, yeah, to begin with, you wouldn't have bought... Well, I certainly wouldn't. If you knew that the series was wrapped up, it's pretty hard, especially if you're a Blues fan, it's pretty hard to go knowing the series is all wrapped up. Mm. But during the second half of game two, in a period of about 7 minutes, they had 10,000 tickets sold early in that second half. As soon as everyone thought this is going to a decider, people snapped up some tickets straight away. So I think we'll get more slowly as we come towards the game. Why would you not? It's the best thing about Origin, New South Wales decider.
The people in New South Wales just have a totally different mentality. They actually don't want to see New South Wales be dominant for the next 10 years. Mm. I know that might sound silly. They just want to see real contests. They like the fact that, you know, New South Wales have been going into the game as the underdog with the worst side and need to pull something out to win.
Yeah, I get that.
And I think if the shoe goes to the other foot and all of a sudden it's us that are dominant for 10 years, I think they'll really struggle.
That won't happen.
To maintain the intensity throughout
we won't be dominant.
The next not few years of the series. I think it's really important that Queensland, hopefully not, but I think it's really important that, you know, from the New South Wales fans' perspective, that these series are really competitive, important.
I mean, also, I'm happy for Christian Welsh. Like, he's had a few injuries. He's done his apprenticeship. He's been in that emerging squad along with Corey Norman for a long time. So bringing him into it gives us a little bit of something too. So there's a couple of players we probably didn't name up. Now, we're a very loyal bunch, Queensland, but those couple of changes needed to be made. And as I said before, you know, you could have easily thrown Morgan into 5'8", and then, you know, in the centres, bring Dane Gagai. But Dane Gagai plays his best football on the wing.
Okay. Wendell Saylor, come on, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler and Maroon. It's Saturday Triple M NRL. We've got plenty to talk about, including Reedy's Mail. The great Brent Reed, soccer star from Brisbane, joins us very shortly as Triple M rocks Origin.